Greetings. Welcome to a midwinter edition of Stardate Susitna. I'm Kathleen Fleming. In this show, I'll pick and choose from the past 7 years of solstice programs. Three key topics get addressed in my programs this time of year. The winter solstice, of course. Also, Saturnalia and the earliest sunset. Of course, there's also changing aspects of the night sky. The configuration of moon and planets is always different, so let's start with that. The big bright moon is officially full Monday night, actually 28 minutes past clock midnight Tuesday morning. This is a perfect example of full moon rising at the time of sunset, Monday afternoon, and setting as the sun rises Tuesday morning. If you're in a position to see the sun dip below your south-southwest horizon, the moon will be rising soon directly behind you, assuming fairly flat horizons. As is the case with any full moon, it is on the opposite side of the sky from the sun. So, if the sun sets in the southwest, the full moon will be rising in the northeast. And as the winter sun is up for a short time, the full moon is up for a long time. The short day sun yields to the long night moon this week, Monday. So, who will this brilliant moon be visiting this week? Sunday night, she's halfway through Taurus, scooting above Aldebaran Monday evening. Wednesday night, enjoy the sight of big moon below big planet. La Luna will be about a half a fist width south of Jupiter as she heads east through Gemini. The most interesting thing in Cancer is the Beehive Cluster, a lovely cluster of stars which the bright light of the waning gibbous moon completely obscures Friday night. Comet Lovejoy is still out there. I saw it Wednesday morning, easy to identify through binoculars. It's a bit further north now and more circumpolar. Still at the edge of naked eye visibility, you can see Lovejoy through binoculars or a telescope in Hercules, as long as the sky is dark, from deep evening to morning twilight. This week, the faint fuzzy will be passing just beneath the keystone shape, which is the most notable part of Hercules. On the computer I use to write these programs, I have saved scripts from as far back as 2006. I've found a number of old paragraphs that I can adapt for this week. Here's one from 2006 about the earliest sunset, altered very slightly to fit this week. The winter solstice, this next Saturday, marks the shortest day, longest night. This does not mean the latest sunrise and earliest sunset. It means the shortest period between sunrise and sunset, as measured by the first and last ray of the sun above the flat horizon. The earliest sunset for the latitude of Talkeetna and Trapper Creek comes on Tuesday the 17th, and the latest sunrise is after the solstice, about December 26th. Now, if you have some source of astronomical information that mentions earliest sunset and latest sunrise, they will no doubt tell you the dates are much different, like December 7th and January 4th, respectively. Indeed, those are the correct dates for folks at 40 degrees north latitude. The dates have to do with latitude, and the phenomenon is explained in part by the equation of time. It does seem odd that the shortest day does not include the latest sunrise and earliest sunset. A very interesting fact that I have actually graphed out and somewhat understand. At lower latitudes, outdoorsy people really do notice that the time of sunset already begins to get later well before the winter solstice. And in several old programs, I spoke about Saturnalia. I'll synthesize some of that information from 2007 and 2010 for you here. Saturnalia begins on Thursday the 19th. This is the ancient Roman midwinter festival honoring Saturn, the Italian king god and father of the major gods. He was the god of the harvest, and his wife Ops was goddess of fruitfulness, appropriate for the mother of the primary gods. Well, the festival honoring Saturn began around December 17th, and the festival honoring Ops began on or near the 19th. Eventually, these midwinter festivals merged into the week-long Saturnalia from December 19th to the 25th. Many Christmas traditions we continue originated with Saturnalia, such as lighting candles, use of evergreens, holly, and wreaths, getting time off from work, gift-giving, feasting, music, and dancing. An important part of the tradition calls for the elimination of class distinctions. Slaves were set free during Saturnalia, and masters waited on their servants. In the Roman festival, a sense of peace was fostered, wars had a timeout, and punishments were suspended. Some of these themes were celebrated around the globe as the response to the dark days of midwinter. In Scandinavia, for example, with lighting candles and bringing green boughs inside the home. According to the entry about Saturnalia in Wikipedia, the appropriate greeting during this festival is Ho, praise to Saturn, or in Latin, Yo, Saturnalia. I think we could do that. It's likely that the timing of the Christmas holiday has nothing to do with the actual day of Jesus' birth and everything to do with incorporating a Christian holy day into the already existing celebrations of Saturnalia. Listen to Seasonal Celebrations on KTNA this year on Sunday, December 22nd at 12:30 to hear from Pam Robinson more about the solstice and midwinter traditions. Of course, I can't not talk about the winter solstice every year. I know that no one out there memorizes my Stardate Susitna programs, lucky for me, since I do tend to repeat myself on the solstices, equinoxes, annual meteor showers, full moons, etc., etc. Perhaps some of this will still sound fresh. From 2009, if you think of the year as a life cycle, gestation may be late winter. The giddy energy of puppyhood would be in the spring. Good, strong, productive working age would be summer. Reaping the benefits of hard work and then slowing down to retirement would be fall. Winter is the time to fade and rest before new life again is begun. The winter solstice is that turning point when the old year has faded and the new year's gestation begins. The life-giving sun has nearly left the Upper Susitna Valley now. Indeed, if we lived only 4.5 degrees of latitude further north, El Sol would fail completely to rise above the hypothetically flat horizon for one or more days around December 21st. But then it does turn. The sun begins slowly to climb higher, to rise and set further and further northward. We begin the year's gestation. This is the promise that dormant life will indeed begin again. And from 2010, people living in the far north are more aware of this turning point in the year, so you are probably well aware that the rate of daylight loss is slowing, and that after the solstice, the days begin so gradually to get longer. Lots of winter weather ahead, but the daylight will be increasing. Although this means a decrease in the stargazing hours, I can't think of a better celebration than winter solstice, midwinter, the rebirth of the solar year. Enjoy! And from 2008, unless you have a very low southern horizon, the sun's rays have failed to enter your windows for some days now. But fear not, bonfires will be lit next weekend and the sun will indeed return to the far north. The turn happens Saturday morning. In 2013, the December solstice occurs at 8:11 a.m. Alaska Standard Time. This is the moment when the Earth's north pole is tilted its maximum of 23.5 degrees away from the sun. Someone watching the sunrise position through the year would notice the slowdown and stop in the sun's southward migration. Solstice means sun standing still. Well, after next Saturday, El Sol will head back northward, slowly at first, and then in a month, it will be racing north to get up to its extreme northern rise and set points. Only 6 months to get from here to there. The race begins next week. Of course, I have lots more to say about the solstice. I've said it before, and I will say it in future Decembers, but I think that'll do it for this year. Judging by the amount of daylight, this is midwinter. Silly to think of the day that the sunlight begins its return as the first day of winter. I say, yo, Saturnalia! Happy midwinter! Look for Comet Lovejoy and Hercules, any residual Geminid meteors this week, and keep looking up.